Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Live in my Southern California studio, still simulcast on CBS Sports Network. Nice to be here. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Good second hour coming up. Got L.A. Rams defensive tackle Michael Brockers at 40 past. We are efforting L.A. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts right now. We've got a beef segment coming up. What are you beefing about? Lots of time on your hands. It's challenging time. People are getting a little crazy at home. It's getting a little nutty. If you've got a beef, you know where to find me. You have your telephone number. You can find me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. As promised, though, we are joined right now by the manager of the L.A. Dodgers. Fifth season with the Dodgers. 2016 NL Manager of the Year. He led the Dodgers to a pair of NL pennants. Four division titles in four seasons. As their manager, he won a World Series as a player. The Dodgers were 106-56 last season. We are joined by L.A. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. Dave, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Romy, under the circumstances, I'm doing pretty well. I'm spending a lot of time with family and catching up on some shows, probably eating and drinking a little too much, but, life is good as far as the family. Thank you for having me.
I was just going to ask you that very question, Dave. It sounds like the rest of us, too, probably eating and drinking too much, but if there is a silver lining, it is that we are getting caught up with the family. How is your family time? What's that like for you?
Yeah, you know what? It's actually, been good. And I know you have a young college student, and I have one who now is doing online classes from Loyola Marymount, ball player, and I've got a sophomore daughter. And so to kind of get us all back under the same roof has actually been a treat. We just don't expect that time, outside of a holiday going forward. And so that's been really good. And the kids have been engaged and, the family dinners and they're helping around the house. So obviously watching shows and doing things, we're in the kitchen together. So that's been fun. Walking dogs, obviously being very mindful of what's going on out in our world, but, no sports. So I'm missing baseball, but still, staying active as much as we can. So that's been good. And Romy, to be quite honest, looking around our country and you see people helping, athletes, celebrities, and, being positive. And for me, honestly, I think this is an opportunity. And I was talking to my wife earlier, Roman, I don't want to babble, but I was just talking to my wife, and you've been that kind of pillar of positivity and celebrating people in sports. And it's kind of now where there's been a cynical thing in sports and kind of a certain take where I think that people being positive today and when we need the levity and the positivity has been great.
It's so nice of you to say that, Dave, and I appreciate that, and I agree with you so wholeheartedly. We do need that right now. We need some positivity. We need some levity. I mean, it's a really serious situation, and it needs to be treated as such, and we are, but we do need to be upbeat, and I tend to see it the same way as you. It's a really troubling time and a challenging time, but there is an opportunity, and there is a way to get better throughout. You mentioned you're watching shows. I want to talk baseball, of course. What shows are you watching?
All right. So we watched this movie, Knives Out. We watched that. That was good. We are on the 911 Lone Star because Rob obviously is a Dodger fan and trying to support him. And that's been good. And then I'm getting into this this Tiger show. So some of my players are watching this thing that and I think that I was listening to you a little bit earlier, so the spoiler alert, I turned you off because I'm only into episode two. So I don't know which way it's going to go. I mean, it's bad, it's troubling, but I just can't stop watching it, right? So that's probably what I'm watching most.
I appreciate it. Dave Roberts is joining us, LA Dodgers manager. All right, so you've made the point that when you're in spring training, you're in something of a bubble because you're focused on baseball and the upcoming season. So what's it like, or what's it been like to gear up for the season? From the outside, it seemed like the team was having such a successful spring training, and then you have to shut it down immediately, and then you have to get ready for opening day in a very different way. The whole process is so unusual. What's that been like?
It's been crazy, and I was at the 94 strike. I got drafted in 1994, so then there's rumblings of an agreement, that kind of might shut some things down. And I was still a young player, a minor league player at that point in time. But this is a situation where all the focus is getting ready for a major league season, and, you know, Mookie and David and, you know, Blake Trinan, all these guys that are new to us, we've kind of assimilated, we're feeling good, we're healthy going in. And this kind of caught us all, you know, by surprise. And obviously it started, you know, in Asia and Europe, and it kind of gets us. But again, we were in that bubble and don't really think that it could affect us. So the next thing you know, we're kind of being evacuated. Everyone's told to go home, facility shut down. And, you know, and now everyone's kind of caught trying to figure out what the heck we do. And I've mentioned before, Romy, it's baseball players, athletes, and a lot of us kind of work in the guidelines of if there's a start time, end time, we can do whatever it takes in between, but we just need to know that certainty. And right now, we just don't have that.
Right, exactly. Dave Roberts, my guest. I mean, as you pointed out, players are creatures of habit. They like to know what their schedule is. They have a structure. So what's your sense as to what your guys are doing and the kind of work they're putting in right now, and how challenging is it to get that work in and stay in shape?
I think that is, and managing a big league ball club or being a head coach, it's managing men, you know, or women, you know, whatever sports. But it's like, for me, it's staying connected to these guys. And I think that right now, first and foremost, you know, the health, the spending time with the family, your wife, your kids, fiance, you know, parents, if you're with your folks. But try to keep your mind sharp, your body active, you know, your arm with the starting pitchers, keep that moving. Your obliques, your core with the positional players, as far as you don't want to come back and blow out an oblique, and kind of understanding that this is unprecedented. And so with that, spring training, when and if we do have it, it's going to be abbreviated. The season, we're talking doubleheaders and all this kind of stuff potentially. So we got to be nimble. And so I think as for us, we got to do, you know, whatever we can to kind of stay as sharp as we can with health at the forefront.
We're talking to Dave Roberts. All right, so if the spring training, and it will be abbreviated, how much time do you think guys are going to need, especially pitchers, to get ready for the start of the season, whenever that is?
I think for me, and this is, and I say me, this is after talking to position players, pitchers, I think 2 weeks. I think that, you know, once we get that soft opening or soft start for a spring training, then I think guys will have time to really start to ramp up. So then when we do get there, 2 weeks will suffice. And I do think that also, you know, with the understanding that the rosters are going to be expanded, where there's got to be extra pitchers, a handful, if not more. And you've got to have that latitude to kind of, you know, when the spring training we've talked about before, where the reentry rule for pitchers to go out after 15, 20 pitches to go, bring somebody else in to get Clayton Kershaw back in there so he can get ramped up, because the fans, they want to see the stars. So they've got to give managers, organizations, whatever latitude we need to get the superstars out there and the players out there once we get going.
We were talking to LA Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. So, Dave, a few things about the team. You mentioned Clayton Kershaw. He had been announced as the opening day starter. Obviously, a lot of things have changed since that time, and we don't really know when opening day is going to be. But what did you see from him that let you know that he was ready to be the opening day starter once again?
I think that the way his body was moving, Romy, he did this thing that was kind of, that's been talked about, this thing, a place called Driveline up there in the Northwest. And he went there, Kenley went there, and Clayton, you know, will never admit to any type of weakness or soreness or pains. But he's been dealing with this the last few years. And just so, you know, to see his body and talking to strength guys, conditioning guys, training staff, see his body work independently, but the core being so strong. Romy, I haven't seen him look this good in quite some time. And just his command, the velocity ticked up. The breaking ball was what it was with the depth. So we're really looking forward to him having a great year. Walker Buehler is right there with him. So for us to feel we got a 1-1A is pretty remarkable. And obviously you mix in David Price too. So it's pretty fun.
Dave Roberts is joining us. All right, in terms of David Price, obviously, Dave, the team acquired Mookie Betts and David Price. As manager, what was your reaction when the trade was official and you knew you were going to have them in your clubhouse?
It was a loud yell. It was a popping of champagne because, man, it just doesn't happen. Where guys in their prime, you know, you've got a former Cy Young winner who is thrilled to be a Dodger and to be on the West Coast, spent his entire career on the East Coast in David Price. And then you've got arguably the best player, you know, obviously Mike Trout, and right behind him is Mookie Betts, who is in his prime and happy to be a Dodger. So you get that just doesn't happen to a team that won 106 games. So you hear about the makeup, the work ethic, all this stuff, and you look at the back of the baseball card. So I was obviously thrilled.
Hey, Dave, one thing about Mookie Betts, there was a story back in February that he spoke to the entire team. David Price said that he had been with Mookie for years, and he had never seen him put his heart out the way he did in that speech. What do you make of what he said?
You know what? It was ridiculous, Romy. I got a text from him the night before, and it was the first meeting of full squad workouts. And then he wanted the floor for a few minutes after I spoke. And the second thing he asked me, and I said, no problem. I didn't need to hear what the topic was going to be about. You just trust the player. And the second thing he wanted was Clayton Kershaw's cell phone. So I forwarded that to him. And then so I spoke, and it was just more of just, in the best, most respectful way, calling us out, a call to urgency, the little things, and day one of spring training needs to be mirrored as if it was game seven of the World Series. And that's what they did in 18 and led to a championship. And it was very just the message was the right message, and it was kind of likened to, I guess, a tempered version of what Kirk Gibson did to the Dodgers and his teammates in 1988. So it was great. And I'll tell you this, Romy, is a player that doesn't have the equity in an organization or a ball club, and as you look out, is only committed to 1 year and then he's free, it just doesn't happen. So that speaks to where David Price said it's unprecedented for Mookie to come out there and put his reputation, his neck out on the line, and it just shows what a leader he is.
Dave Roberts joining me for another moment or so. So what about David Price? Dave, this is a big David Price house. I'm a big fan. I've always been a big fan of his. What's it been like to work with him so far, and how did he look?
He was on point. It's amazing is you see him when he pitches and you see the focus. You see him with his teammates and what every single teammate that's ever played with him or staff member that's been around him, they sing his praises. But to see this guy work, he's very surgical. He's like Clayton in the sense of the focus and what he does and how serious he takes his craft. So he was good. He's very kind of seeing things and trying to get the landscape. But you could just see really early on that guys are gravitating towards him, and he's going to have a huge year for us, Romy.
Dave Roberts, my guest. Dave, do me a favor before you go. You have to do this. We don't have to do anything. But if I were to ask you about your time as a player, you did talk to MLB.com about the stolen base of game four of the 04 ALCS. Can you, without getting into the whole thing, can I just ask you about that? For game four, you enter in the ninth. Everybody in the world knows what you're there to do. Mariano Rivera throws over the first three times. Can you at least tell me what was going through your head in that moment?
I, you know what, real quick, Romy, and I appreciate you bringing it up. And you know me, I'm as humble as you are. We don't like to talk about things like that ourselves. But it was just one of those things where you've got the Maury Wills on one side, who was my mentor when I was with the Dodgers in 2002 as a young major league player, telling me you're going to have a chance and an opportunity and you can't be afraid. And on the other side, I've got the Bill Buckner on the other side saying, you know, if you make a mistake, you get thrown out, then the Red Sox Nation is going to hate you forever and you're going to cost the team a chance to play in the World Series. And I just felt preparation and opportunity led to success. And I was ready for that moment and I wasn't afraid to take it. And I was surrounded by a great group of guys, a great organization. I was lucky to be a part of it, Rob.
Can we just, and I understand this, you don't want to make it about you. You've told the story before, Dave, but I just have to make the point. When you do take off, Jorge Posada throws down to second with a pop time of 1.7 seconds. That was the fastest he had gotten it down to second all season long, and you still beat it. What do you remember about that moment?
What I do remember is the three throwovers. The first one kind of calmed my nerves. The second one felt like I was playing in the days preceding. And then the last one, I felt like I had just played eight innings and I was locked in. So I knew that he was going to hold the baseball to try to deter me from stealing. And so I had a huge lead because Maury always said, get your maximum lead. So I had a huge lead. I got into my signature crouch. And once you deliver that baseball, Romy, it's like a home run hitter that knows they got it. When I had that jump, I knew I got him. And regardless of the pop time, the pitch location. But I will say this. I didn't realize how close that dang play was. And I've said this and joked about it many times, is that
Every time I watch that clip, it seems like it gets closer and closer. So hopefully, down the road, Joe West doesn't change his call.
Dude, I was going to say, stop watching it, Dave. They're going to get you one of these times. He's the manager of the LA Dodgers. 5 years in, he is the 2016 NL Manager of the Year. He won a World Series as a player. The Dodgers coming off that 106-win season. Dave, I appreciate you so much. Stay safe. Great to have you back, and I hope we can do it again soon.
All the best, Romy. Thanks for having me on.
You too, Dave. Appreciate you so much. Dave Roberts is an all-time Jungle favorite. And he has led them to a pair of NL pennants, four divisional titles in four seasons as manager. And they'll wait for the start of the year. A lot of good stuff there. When we come back, the beef segment. What's your beef? Call 1-800-636-8686. You only get one shot. It's once a week. What is your beef?
Is this the beef jerky segment?
It will be next segment. Call with it. Tweet your beef. Email your beef. Michael Brocker is at 40 past. Maui Seidel at the top of the hour. And my thanks to the Dodgers and Dave Roberts specifically. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Let's beef. We do this every Tuesday. Next time you want to grab a protein snack, forget about the drinks and the bars. Instead, grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky. Tender, tasty, real beef that rocks your craving for a snack that satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Pauly T. Wall getting me started on Twitter. My beef is my kids still getting up at the butt crack of dawn. Despite school being canceled and nothing to do. I can respond with a similar beef. You want my beef? You want to know what my morning was like? I woke up at 3. Stayed in bed a little while. Got out of bed at 3:30. Exited my room at 4 a.m. And my kid was up playing Fortnite at 4 a.m. I looked at him. And you have to understand, I'm already in a really bad place. With the kid and the video games. Not to air any dirty laundry, but I'm in a really bad place already about this. And I looked at this kid at 4 a.m. I said, are you freaking kidding me? I can't sleep. Yeah, well, I don't care. You're done, man. I'm done. You're done. It's over. Go back to bed. So I feel you. Don't get me started. This beef segment alone would not be. If you had no beefs and that was only my beef, I couldn't get it all out there in one segment. And Mark Moda tweets, Rome, my beef is with the company that makes beef-flavored Top Ramen noodles. There's a reason why that's the only flavor left on store shelves these days. They are trash. It's another weird thing. Like, my kids are into ramen all of a sudden. I don't know what flavor, but they're eating it all of a sudden. Van Sizzle, I got beef. Human beef. Signed, the tiger, the eight, the husband. We don't know that. We don't know that.
Mama's got some treats for you.
That song, though. Here, kitty, kitty, mama has some treats for you. Can't find this taste in the zoo. The video is, like, so much worse than the song, even. Andy from Denver. Johnny Scabs in on Twitter. Jimmy, my beef is with panhandlers. These freeloaders are about to get a $1,200 check. And they're still pissed at me for throwing nickels at them as I drive by. Bro, if you keep tweeting things like that, you'll be with them soon. Bad form, man. Bad karma. Abel in the ATX, Jim, my beef is with teeth. Signed, that dude from Tiger King. Which one? Rome, my beef is the guy who uses a turkey thermometer as a human medical instrument. That's crazy. Now, excuse me while I use a bottle opener to extract my infected toenail. Signed, Ira Craig. I was online last night, so I have this soap that I used as a kid, and I still use it. Facial soap. They discontinued it after like 40 years. I have no idea why. They just did. So what I did for a while, I'd go on eBay, and people started to hoard that soap, and I didn't care. I'd pay a little more money for it. Like, the soap was already really expensive. It was like $7 or $8 a bar because it's, you know, it's facial soap. And then when the company discontinued it, then you could buy it online, but these jackals were selling it for like $20 a bar, which I thought, you know, they were a-holes for that. There's one bar left in the world. I went on eBay last night, and it says expired 12/15. I looked at the pictures, and I flipped it over, and I saw the back of the box. This bar of soap expired 12/15/2015. This a-hole is selling a bar of soap that expired almost 5 years ago for over $100. Come on, man. What a world. Rome, my beef is with a-holes like that. Rome, my beef is with whatever bag drops their used gum in the parking lot right outside my car door, dooming me and my favorite pair of shoes to several years of misery before I eventually throw them away. That's so true, especially in the summertime. Dear Jim, my beef is with the guy who sprinkles all over the seat in a unisex bathroom because I follow him. I feel compelled to clean up that mess. I don't want that person going in after me thinking I was the filthy pig that did it. War Russell Crowe's wife putting him on the keto diet and Russ running around screaming, "Give me back my bun. Give me back my bun." Derek in Pittsburgh. Romy, what's my beef? My beef is with you not talking fishing. Your buddy Eric in Orlando. Damn, Eric. Dude, my beef is just with you, period. Rome, my beef is with projects. Projects. You want to talk about projects? Since when did a nationwide pandemic make it time to fix everything I never got to? Jim in Chicago. Hi, Jim. You want to know what my beef is? My beef is with those people that constantly click their pens. Meetings are boring enough, and now we're stuck listening to this ass clicking his pen incessantly and absolutely nothing else. Bella B? In Calgary. Jim, my beef is that there is no Kentucky Derby this year. You need to step up and bring back the Mr. Ed page. Joe from Jessup. We're having John Elway as the poster boy. A Mr. Ed page. Yeah, I don't know anything about that. Hey, Rome. My beef is with those weekend warrior cyclists. These noodle arm freaks ride around every Saturday and Sunday, taking up the lane, slowing up traffic. Hey, losers, get off to the side of the road and let us pass. Also, either be a bike or a car. If you are indeed taking up the lane, obey the traffic laws. I'm sick of you and your caravan blowing through all the stop signs or crossing roadways, making us wait. And to that fat slob on the Walmart special cruiser that's 3 miles behind the pack, do yourself a favor. Stay at home. All of you do us a favor. Get a Peloton and keep your ass off my roads. Sincerely, PJ in Pearland. A.K.A. Cyclist Guy Hater. Rome, my beef is with all the corn-fed fatties that have been wearing a Fitbit 10-plus years and never lost a single pound. Fat. Trade that thing for a donut, sweetheart.
Fat.
Thanks, Nate in Des Moines. Hey, Jim, I got beef with homeschooling. It sucks. Sorry, kid. You're repeating second grade next year because ain't nobody got time for this. James in Tucson. Let's quickly go to the phones. We go to Parody Larry. All right, Larry, you've been on hold 3 weeks. What is your beef, Larry?
Hey, Rome, how you doing? I hope you're all safe. I got a beef with the state of Nebraska, Jim, because they keep sending us this terrible emailer and potential caller. And with a response to Kenny Rogers, on a cold winter's morning, on a train bound for Lincoln, I met a clone named Geoff. We started talking about Jim Rome. I said, if you don't mind my saying, Boy, you got to step your game up, because if you want to call the jungle, let me give you some advice. You got to know when you're on hold'em. Don't suck is what Tucker told him. You better have a take or you'll get run. You never...
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
So Ritt got to run parody, Larry. How'd that feel, old man? That feel pretty good, old man? How you like? You like that? You like that, old man? When we come back, you know what? If you've got a beef, hold it. It'll hold. You won't go sour like that meat in the trash can that Joe Exotic's trying to feed his staff and his cats. You just got to hold it till next hour, not next week or next month. Because when we come back, Michael Brockers is my guest. And then at the top of the hour, Molly Seidel. It's good to be with you. Got the Jim Rohn podcast coming up tomorrow. Michael Bisping, UFC Hall of Famer, is my guest. So make a note of that, and we'll come back. Michael Brockers, though, is next.
You're listening to The Jim Rohn Show. Live from Southern California, this is The Jim Rohn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. We are efforting Michael Brockers. So we should have him momentarily. Defensive lineman with the LA Rams. In the meantime, if you want to finish off that beef segment, you go right ahead. 1-800-636-8686. We do it every single Tuesday. We always run out of time. We never run out of beefs. We always run out of time. So if you want to finish that off, you go right ahead. Molly Seidel is an Olympic marathoner. She will join us at the top of the hour. Really quickly. Hey, Romy, we totally believe that that was Joe Exotic singing. Regards, accepting a friend request from a, quote, sexy single on Facebook that has zero mutual friends with you and has a profile pic of her chest. Geoff Lincoln. Rome, we saw a tiger, and Tiger saw the bathroom when the check came. Signed, the Navy SEAL team after lunch was over.
'Cause I saw Tiger, now I understand.
Jamie in Green Bay tweets, I saw a tiger, and Tiger didn't see me. Signed, Hawk, getting snubbed at Riv.
'Cause I saw Tiger, now I understand.
Anybody else? All right, let's go to the phones. The beef segment continues as I'm efforting my guest. Let's go to Matt in L.A. He wants to respond to Jeff, who started the beef segment before the beef segment. What's up, Matt? How are you?
Jim O's. First of all, God bless you and yours. Thanks for the vine. From Detroit to Deutschland, from Southfield to South America, you're welcome. Especially you, Jeffy, you wise-cracking weirdo. The CBS Sports Net, in conjunction with Jim Rome's Jungle, is doing its part in keeping the sanity of America together during this pandemic. No thanks to this mediocre YouTube miscreant with the imbecilic impersonations, gibberish jabberjaws, and nonsensical non-sports takes. Pipe down, you nincompoop. Hey, yo, Jeff in Southfield, stick to spouting off about Arthur Fonzie, American cheese, and whatever else you Michigan malcontents talk about as you pass your boarded up boulevards and run down ramshackle roads, you rabble rouser. You keep worshiping me from afar, and I'm gonna get my dude Josh in Detroit to bore you to death via phone call. Bitch smack you, you chump. You stand up comic wannabe, open mic reject, YouTube yokel freak. I was just a case for you, you trailer park tailgater. Aloha, mean te hola, you amateur. I'm the Twilight Zone Marathon of Smack. You better have catalog of Smack for this fight, son. War Dave Roberts leading the Dodgers to the promised land in 2020. Unwar murderer Carol Baskins. Unwar clones with no game taking a run at the legendary Matt in L.A. Outro.
Rock him. And a boy, Matthew. That's good beef. That's why you have a beef segment. That's a strong beef right there. Jeff from Southfield, who's got some great impersonations, did Matt earlier. And then Matt came back with a vengeance right there. 1-800-636-8686. We're finishing off that beef segment. Let's keep it in Michigan. Dan in Michigan. Dan, what's your beef?
Romy, you got the pipes of an angel, the lettuce that rivals Samsung. All right? My beef is with my Detroit Patriots. I mean, you get rid of Diggs, okay. You get rid of Slay, what? You get rid of a class act like Kennard? Are you kidding me, bro? I mean, come on. And then on top of that, you got Patricia? The guy cares more about eating Tony dogs than winning games, bro. He's a slob. Respect yourself, and your players will respect you.
I love it, Dan. The only thing I would have liked better, I was led to believe, Rackham, I was led to believe that you were going to go off again on trash can beef. But your neighbor's not pulling out their trash cans. But I do like him saying Matt Patricia's a slob. Respect yourself, and then your players will respect you. Respect yourself, and your players will respect you. It's pretty strong. Anybody else got a beef? It's a rare bonus beef segment as we are connecting with our guest, and we have done so. We're joined right now by defensive lineman for the LA Rams entering his ninth season. He re-signed with the Rams on Friday. He had a career-high 63 tackles and 3 sacks last season. He started 57 straight games. He was the 14th pick overall in 2012 out of LSU. Michael Brockers is my guest. Michael, good to have you back. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. Doing great. How are you doing with all this craziness?
You know what? Just like everybody else, Michael, I appreciate you saying that. Hanging in there, spending time with the family, still doing the show, which feels great. So just kind of grinding through the thing, trying to stay positive and upbeat. Michael, your situation's been wild of late. What an interesting period it's been for you. Initially, there were reports that you agreed to that deal with the Ravens. Let me ask you about that really quickly. At that time, what was it about the opportunity in Baltimore that appealed to you? What did you like about that?
Well, you know, just the opportunity to play with a team that I felt like, you know, had a chance to go all the way. And at that time, you know, they were offering me a little bit higher than what the Rams were offering me. And I just thought it was the best decision for, you know, me and my family with financially and also being, you know, having a chance to possibly get to the playoffs and win, you know, go to the Super Bowl.
I get that. Michael Brockers is my guest. I get that. But then what's it like when you go from thinking that you're leaving the Rams, the team that drafted you, to play in Baltimore, but now you're back with the Rams and you have a 3-year deal? What's that feel like?
Man, it feels awesome, man. I'm a man that's a religious man, and I feel like everything happens in a way that God plans it. And, you know, for me, at first, you know, I thought that was my next journey was Baltimore, but ultimately, he has a plan to keep me in L.A. and, you know, around the people I'm used to, the coaches that love me, and I love them back. And, you know, man, just appreciate working for these guys.
We're talking to Michael Brockers. You know, you're entering your ninth season now in the NFL. The vast majority of guys who enter the NFL never last that long, and even smaller number spends 9 years or more with the same team. So how much pride is there in the fact that not only have you had the career you've had, but you are doing it all with the same team?
It's definitely just a testament just to just a blessing, man. I can't put any, you know, name to it or any word to it. Man, I just, you know, continue just to come in to work, grab my hard hat and just enjoy what we do, man. Because like you said before, a lot of people don't make it this long and don't make it to the league. So I'm definitely going to enjoy every day I have in it.
All right, so speaking of the hard hat, construction continues. You see what I did there? Construction continues on the team's new stadium with the expectation that it's going to open up this season. How much are you looking forward to that new stadium and getting to play in it?
Oh man, definitely when we found out we were moving here and we were going to get a new stadium, my hopes were high that I would be able to play in it. And, you know, as it happened, you know, I got a new contract and I'll be opening up in there. So it's definitely going to be a great experience just to go from, you know, St. Louis and, you know, be in L.A. and open up in a new stadium.
No doubt. Michael Brocker is my guest. Now, that defense is going to be somewhat different because a number of faces are gone, including Wade Phillips. You and I have talked about the legendary Son of Bum in the past. What was it like to play for him, and how much did you learn from him?
I learned a lot from him. I mean, you know, just to see a coach with such a background, and he can just talk to you and just come to you as a man and laugh and chill. I mean, he was just awesome, man, just to see such a guy with a great resume. You know, some coaches take it into an ego thing and, you know, make themselves bigger than what they are. You know, he was definitely a humble coach, a humble experience, and I just love playing for him.
We're talking to Michael Brockeris. You know, earlier in the offseason also, you were in the studio at the NFL Network, and you did some analyst work. I thought you made it look really easy, and you spent some time talking about some prospects. Let me ask you what you thought about Chase Young. In fact, I know, in a sense, you were talking about his mindset, his desire to be great. Why is that something that jumped out to you about him? What did you see when you saw him?
I mean, it just reminded me of AD. You know, AD has that mindset. It's not about the money. He definitely appreciates it. It's a blessing, but, you know, for him, is always dominating. It's never, you know, having a play where, you know, you feel like that was a bad play on my part or my bad. Man, he's always chasing greatness, always trying to improve, always working. And he's not complacent, and that's what I love about him, and it motivates me.
Hey, Michael, what about that? Like, from the outside, people might think, yeah, well, but every single guy who comes into the league has got this desire to be great. But let me ask you, I mean, do they? Does every guy want it as badly as they have to want it in order to be great?
No, sir. No, sir. It's definitely a difference between me and AD. Because sometimes I see him, I'm like, bro, like, you can relax. Like, just take a break sometimes. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, for him, it's like, no, I can never let, you know, another man outwork me, or never a day where I feel like, you know, I'm not getting better and somebody else getting better than me. You know, a lot of guys say they want to be great but don't want to put in the work.
Michael, is there really that big of a difference between AD and, like, you, for instance? Like, what's the difference between you and AD? How is he different? How is
his
he next level?
His grind is different. His grind is different. You know, I mean, he has two kids. He has a family. You know, he loves his kids. But, you know, for me, I'm going to take a little vacation and maybe go to a Disney park or something like that. And, you know, he will too. But he's going to definitely make sure he gets that work in before he do anything.
Michael Brocker is joining us. I can appreciate it. So it's a really challenging time right now for everybody when it comes to staying in shape because gyms and practice facilities are closed. So how are you going about approaching that?
Well, I mean, I'm taking it back to my roots, man. I have a coach who coached me in middle school and a little bit of high school. And we just get it in my front yard, man. I can't make any excuses. Like I said before, AD motivates me, man. I'm watching his little videos, and I'm like, okay, yeah. I can't let a day go by where I feel like, oh, he's getting better than me or you know, he's outworking me. So that's definitely something I got from him, just, you know, to have that integrity, you know, all year round where you're always working and you're never having a day off.
Yeah, in the event that anybody's not following this, AD is Aaron Donald. Now, before you entered free agency, you talked about the fact that you weren't necessarily sure what kind of respect that you might get from other teams because they might be distracted by what AD does. Now, he raves about what you do against the run, and then one NFL scout told ESPN before free agency that you are, quote, one of the best versus the run, the way you're able to anchor versus a double team. He has a great strength at the point of attack. He's always penetrating gaps, and he's durable. End quote. So what's it mean to you to hear that kind of respect that you do have around the league and from your teammate?
Definitely, I'm honored. Definitely honored because, you know, I just put in my work, man. I don't try to go out there and, you know, chase numbers or anything like that, man. I go out there and play my game, and that's what I love about playing for the Rams. They don't, you know, it's not a lot of pressure, man. You just go out there and do your job at the best of your ability and win games, and that's the most important thing. And that's my game is going in, handle those double teams. You know, being as disruptive as I can.
He has started 57 straight games, coming off a career-high 63 tackles. He had 3 sacks last season, and he did re-sign with the Rams on Friday. Michael Brocker is my guest. Michael, I appreciate you. Great to have you back. Congrats on that new deal, and always good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Man, I appreciate you. Thank you for having me on, man. And, man, stay safe.
Stay safe. Well said. Have a great day. Michael, great talking to you. Man, that's that kind of positivity I'm looking for right now. And it's good to have him back in L.A. You know, if I'm Michael Brockers, he gets to go out, had an opportunity, finds out there's a lot of respect for him around the league, and then it doesn't quite work out, but he gets to come back where he loves it, and he gets a multi-year deal. So he found out that he had that respect, and he got to stay where he is. So that all worked out. When we come back, U.S. Olympic marathoner Molly Seidel. That's next. Stay tuned.